Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Very interesting. Okay.
What is it?
all right. Well, we'll work it into the end. All right. Oh, my goodness.
I'm Mariel Segarra. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. We were just about to hear Kai Ryssdal's top listened to songs of last year, but Saved by the Bell.
Wow. Saved by the Bell. Yes, I'm Kai. Thanks for joining us. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, although honestly, and maybe this is just because it's early in the year and I had a good night's sleep last night, I don't know. I'm not really all that hollowed out today. But we'll see how things stand 15 minutes from now. A little bit of news, a little bit of Make Me Smile, and then we are on our way. I don't know. How are you feeling? You feeling hollowed out or normal?
I feel okay. Honestly, a little hollowed out today. To be honest, yeah.
Really? All right.
But
okay.
That's not the norm for me. So I feel, But
yeah.
It's okay. It's all this news, honestly. Yeah.
There is a lot of news. All right. So let's just dig in. And none of this is extraordinarily unheard of news. It's all big news items. But I got a couple of things I want to say. Number one, of course, today the Supreme Court blocked the president's vaccine or test rule. They blocked a key part of it, that part that would have been instituted by OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The court basically said OSHA can do a lot, but this is too broad a mandate. The justices did let stand the ruling on healthcare workers, about 10 million healthcare workers. But here's what I want to point out about the OSHA decision. So the Supreme Court said OSHA swung too big a stick, right? They tried to do too big a mandate that was not in their purview. And it was a 6-3 vote, as you might have expected and as you probably heard. Here's the key part, though. The Supreme Court did not say that there are no other agencies that can put into place test or vaccinate mandates the American workforce. So if OSHA can't do it, then perhaps others can. And that's a key part of this thing. The court basically said you didn't do it right, which they said to the Trump administration a lot, specifically on some of the immigration rules. So I think if the Biden administration's smart, they're going to have another whack at this and come back. We'll see where that one goes. Number
that's
two.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Trump administration got whacked by the Supreme Court a lot for just doing stuff, right? As President Trump did. And then they came back and they eventually got what they wanted in immigration, mostly. So there's that. Number two, 18 U.S. Code 2384. I'll save you the lookup. It is seditious conspiracy. It's obviously the head of the Oath Keepers and some others being indicted by a federal grand jury for the attacks on January 6th on the Capitol using 18 U.S.C. 2384. Which is seditious conspiracy, that is to say, conspiring to, in the very large sense of the word, overthrow the government of the United States. I think that's interesting because one of the things that those on the right have been saying is, well, look, if you guys think it was sedition and insurrection, why hasn't anybody been charged? And now they've been charged. So we'll see where this one goes.
There you go.
A big deal. And then lastly, this is from yesterday, but it really caught me up short this morning when I was listening to it as I was walking the dogs. The Daily from the New York Times, and I've commented on The Daily on this podcast before and some of the issues I have with a certain host of that program. But anyway, David Sanger, their national security correspondent, one of them anyway, was on today talking to whoever was sitting in for the host who shall not be named. And it was about what's going on in Ukraine with Russia. And something that Sanger said, and Sanger's been around the block a lot for the Times. He's been there for like 35 or 40 years. One of the things he said caught me up short. They were talking about what Vladimir Putin might do if these things don't work out and Putin decides to send forces into Ukraine. And what Sanger said was, look, Putin's only got a really narrow window because he's got all this armor, that is to say tanks and armored personnel carriers, massed on the Ukrainian border, and that ground is not yet frozen. It will be frozen for about a month or 6 weeks, and then it's going to turn to mud again. So Putin, if he's going to move all this armor across the border, has to do it relatively soon, and he's got a really small window. And that just caught me up short, because when you talk about moving massed armor across borders in Europe, that brings certain other things to mind. And yeah. Go listen to it. David's really smart, and you can learn a lot. And anyway, that's it. It's the Daily from yesterday. That's my whole news spiel, and I took longer.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it.
It's good. It's really good. It's really good.
Well, mine has to do mainly with your first story. I mean, I think the vaccine mandate is the biggest story of the day, but then everything related to that, I mean, the Census Bureau just put out a survey of small businesses. They do it, I guess, every week, and it showed that small businesses saw a 33% drop in revenue last week, which is pretty huge.
Wow.
And it's the biggest drop since last year, like February. And it's about Omicron, because even though it is apparently milder, it also, if you get it, you have to stay home from work. So restaurants have had to shut down for temporarily, or factories or whatever. So it's just, it's grinding everything to a halt again. And that's the problem.
Yep.
Teachers, like, they need substitute teachers, you know, all of it.
Yeah, totally. This is anecdotal, and it's very first world problem-ish. But two Starbucks close to me have been closing at 3 o'clock every day because they don't have staff to manage all the shifts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says something, for sure. I mean, there was already a shortage of workers, or businesses weren't willing to pay enough to attract workers. But yeah, now it's like they can't even stay open.
For sure. Wow. For sure.
It just kind of feels like, what now? I think that's what put me in the hollowed out place today. Like, what are we doing?
Like, that's fair. Although I'm sure you saw, and I'm sure you follow this stuff because you live right there in the heart of it. You've seen the curves and the charts that show the peak in New York has now passed, and you guys are on the downward slope, as it were. And I don't know how closely you follow the poop surveys out of Boston, but you know they've been measuring the virus in poop, and that's way down too. So things are getting better, right? It's still messy out there, but things are getting better. So
yeah,
there you go.
It seems to be moving faster than the last time around, even this wave.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
There we go.
Maybe we smile now.
Charlton, hit it. Let us. All right. Mine I saw early this morning, and it stuck with me all day. And I just want to, I'm not going to actually play the audio because I'm not that mean, but I might just hum it for you. Do, 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 do. You're welcome for the earworm. On CNN today, I saw this. Baby Shark, that song, which was everywhere 2 years ago, year and a half, whatever it was, is now the first and only video to reach 10 billion views on YouTube, which is just insane. That is more people on the planet have watched this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is wild.
I don't know.
I hate it and I love it at the same time.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Do you remember that time I did a spot and I sang a little bit of it? That was one of my shining moments, I think.
I do. I do. I do. I do. I do.
Yeah, yes. I really put myself out there. Well, that's cool. I mean, I was looking today for a Make Me Smile, and eventually Marissa Cabrera sent me something good. But first, I was feeling, like I said, kind of hollowed out. And I just thought about something I used to do early pandemic when things were really bad. And I'd just sit or walk around the park and name three things that I'm grateful for. Like,
oh, wow.
And it really does make you, if not smile, it brings me some peace. So I just thought, I'm going to tell you the three things that I was grateful for today. And you
That'd
know,
be
you
great.
Can share
what
them
are they?
Too, if you want.
Yeah.
I thought my health. Also, I'm grateful for my work. This week was super engaging. Like, I did a couple interviews that were really meaningful and deep, and this show. Like, I really like doing the show.
Yeah. We should tell people what you're doing, because you haven't been on Marketplace or The Morning Show for a while now.
I know. Yeah. So I've been doing a few months on the on demand on the podcast team and working on This Is Uncomfortable, doing a little editing for them and working on an episode of my own. And that's one of the interviews I did for next season of TIU. And then I'm also working on a story for broadcast that's sort of a came out of a TIU submission. And I did that. That'll be on your show.
Excellent.
I did that interview on Monday. It was like 3 hours. It was really cool. Great, about paid family leave. Yeah, so that I felt really engaged with work this week. And I'm feeling grateful for the sunshine I'm about to get because I'm coming to LA for a week, flying tomorrow.
Oh, are you? Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
What about you?
All right, so we've got, what am I thankful for? Well, so my health. And the fact that my family has recovered its health since the coronavirus came to our house over the Christmas holidays. Yeah, that's kind of where I am right now. I'm happy that I'm healthy, and I'm thankful that I'm healthy.
Good.
Yeah,
that
you put me on the spot, man.
Maybe I'll
come back, like, next time you're on with me, I'll come back with the things I'm thankful for. But that's a good exercise. That's a good exercise, right? And look, regular listeners of this podcast know that I am not the most introspective of people. So maybe that forgives me not being able to come up with what I'm thankful for. But I'll figure it out.
I'm sure you've got plenty.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. All right. Let us move on before this comes Kai's therapy session, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Well,
what else you got?
The other one I have is that Marissa Carrera sent me was that now fish can drive, apparently. There's
really?
Some study
oh,
that
this is the gold
did,
I saw this
see.
The other day. Yes, totally. Totally. It's crazy.
Yeah. They're like in a tank that's on wheels and they figured out how to direct it so that they could get to like the food pellet that they want. It's mm-hmm. kind of amazing. And apparently they're not the only animals that can drive. So it makes me smile, but it also freaks me out a little bit. Cause like,
yeah, I mean,
if fish
I'm okay
can drive,
with like,
what's next?
You know, like monkeys knowing how to drive cause they're close and all this stuff, but goldfish knowing how to drive, that freaks me out a little bit.
A little bit.
All right. We're going out with that image of goldfish driving. We are done for today. I'm back tomorrow. Kimberly's here. Economics on Tap. Take a little break from the YouTube live stream for a month or so, by the way. We got things going on, training new people, all that good stuff. The podcast, however, is still happening. We'll have drinks. We will play half full, half empty, all of that good stuff. So we hope you can listen in.
Yeah. And meanwhile, keep sending your questions, comments, make me smiles, things you're grateful for to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message at 508-UB-SMART.
Charlton Thorpe right there with it. Knows his cue. Mm-hmm. Tell you what. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Mark A. Green helps you out too. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe masterfully.
Mm-hmm. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Oh, what was your top Spotify song?
Here you go. All right, so from the top, One More Second by Matt Berninger, who's with The National. Girls Go Wild, which is a great song that my son introduced me to. Bill Evans, My Foolish Heart. He's a pianist from a long time ago. Rome by Dessa. She's the one who did Who's Yelling Now for us. Blood Buzz Ohio from The National. So What with John Coltrane and Miles Davis, and then some other stuff. So that's the top four or five. There you go.
That's a good list.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.